So now we're recording. This is chapter 15. So the Torah tells us, the prophets tell us, that there's a difference. You will see a difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, and between a righteous person and a wicked person, and between Oved Elohim, a person who serves Hashem, and a person who doesn't serve Hashem. What does this mean to serve Hashem? This means to work on your relationship with Hashem. So either you're coasting, you're taking your relationship for granted, you've already become a best friend, so to speak, you have already become a righteous person, or you're working on it, you're doing things that are going a little bit out of your ordinary relationship. So this is the difference between the two. So Alter Rebbe says, once we now understand the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, now we can understand, when we look at this pasuk, this verse, we can understand what it is, what it's saying. Because the Gemara says, the term a righteous person seems to be identical with the term a person who is serving Hashem. The term a wicked person seems to be identical with a person who is not serving Hashem. So why is it said twice? Is it redundant? Is it extra? So the Gemara answers that there is a difference. And the answer of the Gemara is that the difference is that a righteous person who serves Hashem is a person who studies more than they're used to. Gemara explains that in the olden times, people used to study everything they learned. Everything had to be known by heart. So they used to review 100 times what they would study. 100 times is a lot, but that's what everybody did. If somebody said, I'm going to do more than everybody does, I'm going to review 101 times. So the one who says, I'm going to review this concept that I just studied 101 times, that's a person who's working for their relationship. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Alter Rebbe says, yes, it's true that this explanation explains to us the difference between a person that works for Hashem and a person that doesn't. So it's clear, a person that works for Hashem studies more than they're used to doing. A person that doesn't work and is sort of coasting. Now, this is, we would wish upon ourselves these things. This is what was considered coasting in the times of the Gemara. To study something 100 times was coasting. Well, we would wish this upon ourselves, but at any rate, this is what the Gemara explains. So do you hear background noise?
I don't. Everything is clear.
You don't hear background. Good. So the Alter Rebbe therefore says that according to what we've explained now, in the terms of tzaddik in Russia, that a tzaddik in a Russia does not mean in this context, in this application, a person who is righteous most of the time, or a person who's wicked most of the time. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. Well, generally, when you talk about a tzaddik, a person says, what's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is a human being. He does one or two things wrong, but he's so good in so many other areas. This person is tzaddik. And what's a rasha? Does a rasha do anything right? Sure, rasha must do something right, but he's more wicked than righteous. The Alter Rebbe says, yeah, that's how people speak. But here we're talking about a very technical application of the word tzaddik and a technical application of the word rasha. And it's talking about a person. A tzaddik is a person who has no yetzahara. A rasha is a person who has a yetzahara and gives in to the yetzahara. A person who is oved elokim and asher lo avado, this is the beinoni, the Alter Rebbe says. So let's see what it continues further. So the difference between a person who serves Hashem, a person who is working for the relationship, and a tzaddik, it's written in the present tense. A person who is now, Oved Elohim, is a person who is now working on his or her relationship with Hashem. They are in the middle of the work. They're in the middle of the effort to put in, to get rid of, and to subdue their evil inclination, the Yetzirah. And that's the work. The work is a struggle against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wants to control the body. Alter Rebbe says, The body is called the small city. The Yetzer Hara wants to be the ruler of that city. And the Yetzer Hara wants that the city, the body, should listen to it. This person, however, is struggling. And the person is pushing back. And the person is fighting with the Yetzer Hara. And it's an active struggle. It's a constant struggle. And the struggle is that the Yetzer Hara should not allow, be able to express itself and express its will and express what it wants through it, the person's thoughts, the person's speech, and the person's actions. It's literally as if you have somebody who is standing outside of you and trying to force you with a gun or a knife or beating you up to do something, and you're fighting back. You don't want to do it. So this is what this person is doing. He's fighting back with the Yetzer Hara, and he's viewing the Yetzer Hara not as themselves. This is not the real me. This is an external force that is imposed upon me that is forcing me to do things that I don't want to do. Who is the I? I is the Yetzer Tov. I is the soul of that's connected to Hashem always. This constant battle is something that requires a lot of effort and energy. And that is the definition of a Beinoni. The Alter Rebbe says, the tzaddik is not called Oved Hashem. Oved Hashem means a person who is now struggling. He is called Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem means a servant of God. A servant of God, and that's his, it's not a description, it's a title. It means he's already reached that level. Like a person, for example, is going to college and you're studying to become a doctor or lawyer. You're a medical student, you're a law student. You're working once you graduate. You're a lawyer, you're a doctor. That's your title. Now, does it mean that you don't have to do practice law? No, the idea is you became a doctor or a lawyer in order to practice medicine, in order to practice law. Matter of fact, it's very interesting that in English, we call it practice because you keep on practicing, you keep on learning as you're doing. But there's no question that once you have reached a certain level, you don't put new effort and energy into acquiring new knowledge unless it comes through your business or through your interaction with patients. And therefore, in fact, the lawyers and the doctors are required to take constant updates and to attend continuing legal education and continuing certifications and so on and so forth, because you tend not to want to expand your knowledge unless you absolutely have to. So this is the difference. A tzaddik, in one level, from one perspective, has an incredible advantage over the Beinoni. The incredible advantage is the tzaddik graduated. The tzaddik has already completed the task after a lot of work. A tzaddik has completed the job and has gotten rid of the Yetzer Hara. Now, that same advantage is a disadvantage. And the disadvantage is the tzaddik is not working actively to obtain this goal. They're already there. They're on a plateau. They're resting on their laurels, so to speak. The tzaddik, on the other hand, is designated as servant of Hashem. That's a title. It's not a description of what they're doing now. It's actually a title which is conferred on the person himself. The term servant is similar to the term sage, a chacham, a wise person, or a melech, or a king. This is a person who has already become wise, already studied, or a king has already been crowned as king. So too, the tzaddik has already finished the job. What is the task? The task is to convert the Yetzer Hara, to convert the animal soul, which is active and acting instinctively and acting with regard for material accomplishment and assembling more material success. The tzaddik's job is, and every Jew's job is, to try to the best of their ability to take the animal soul and to take the Yetzer Hara. First of all, take the Yetzer Hara and say, and the evil inclination, and it should stop bothering you. And second, you should not be given to a temptation. And well, in the reverse order, don't give in to the temptation. Then stop it from bothering you completely. And then, if you can, convert the personality and the inclinations that the animal soul has, convert them into actual positivity, into using them for doing mitzvahs. This is what a tzaddik does. A tzaddik is given, we've explained in the previous chapters, the power through receiving a special kind of neshama from Hashem, and that's given at birth. The tzaddik receives the power, the capacity, the ability, and the power to convert their evil inclination, first of all, to get rid of it, and second, to convert their animal soul into positivity. That's a tzaddik can do. The Beinoni does not have that ability to close that deal and to totally get rid of the Yetzirah. In the Beinoni itself, there are two levels. And we previously spoke about these two levels in chapter 12 and in chapter 13. We did speak about these two levels. We spoke about the level of a Beinoni who is struggling, or a Beinoni who is a Beinoni but is not struggling anymore. What does this mean? In the category of Beinoni, there are also two levels, one who serves God and one who serves him not. One who serves him not is not wicked, although he doesn't wage war with his evil nature, for never in his life has he committed even a minor transgression. He has never done even a small sin. And he also fulfills all the positive commandments. And he also learns Torah every minute of the day that it's only possible to learn Torah. But he doesn't have to fight with his Yetzirah. Why doesn't he have to? Very simple. Because the Yetzirah is not bothering him to the level that the other person's Yetzirah is bothering that guy. Why is the Yetzirah not bothering him? Alter Rebbe says, well, it could be that this is a person by nature is what's called in Hebrew a masmid. By nature, he's very much excited about learning. He very much loves to apply himself to studying Torah. That's what this person likes to do. This person is not interested in going out and going on vacation, not interested in seeing the world, not interested in going amongst people. This is a person who's an introvert, who likes to study, an intellectual. So when it comes to study, they don't have a struggle. You tell me study Torah, the person says 24, 25 hours a day. Absolutely. If I could only do it, I would look to this person. Or it could be a person who has no conflict with sexual desire due to his frigid nature. This is a person not a heated up nature. Similarly with other pleasures of the world, this person doesn't have to work to proactively stop falling into some kind of temptation, because he naturally lacks any feeling for all of these physical things. For this reason, when it comes to spirituality, this individual doesn't have to work up a long involved thought about how great Hashem is to stop thinking about the physical world. And in this guy's mind, this woman's mind, there is no struggle per se between the physical world and spiritual. They get it. They're spiritual by nature. This is not a negative. This is an amazing thing. Hashem creates people. We know, from our friends and our children that people are born. Some people are born just plain simple. You see them that they're just plain more spiritual. Other people, you see them and they're just wrapped up either in themselves or they're wrapped up in the search and the quest, the constant quest for material fulfillment. And then some people just don't care about those things. So the Alter Rebbe says that a person like that, it's true they still have a Yetzirah, but is the Yetzirah really bothering them? Not really. They have to actually work to do something that is out of the ordinary. Otherwise, they like to sit in one place and just be good. They're happy being good. So for such people, this person doesn't have to create a love for Hashem in his heart that would motivate him to bind himself to him. It's enough for this person with the fact that Hashem, through his great goodness and great kindness, has given each of us, that means every single Jewish person, DNA that comes from Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. And that DNA contains within it a natural love for Hashem. And this natural love for Hashem is something that every single Jew shares, the natural love for Hashem. We are called Ohavei Shmo. We are called the lovers of Hashem's name. That's what we're called. So by nature, every Jew is called an individual who loves God. What does it mean to love God? Very simple. We love spirituality. We love morality. We love being good. We love being connected. We love being altruistic, not being selfish. That's what we love. The Jewish people have a special gift. And the reason we have this gift again is because simply because we're children of our parents who acted that way, and ultimately goes back to our ancestors, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. That's where we get everything from. So if you don't have a force inside yourself that is pushing you in a bad direction, then you're already in a good spot. It's like a child who's in a class of only good kids. You send the kid to school, and the school, the class is wonderful, smart kids who want to learn. So you send your kid to school and they're in that class. Why wouldn't they be that way? That's the natural. That's the normal. That's what's happening. Now you send your kid to school and everybody in class is a troublemaker and everybody's looking to cut corners and to not do what the work is. So you send your kid to that class. Well, now they have to fight against everybody in the class. This individual, Alter Rebbe says, is a Beinoni, not because they're working for it so much. Yes, it's true. It's not simple to do all these things. Even just to be a Beinoni without an active Yetzirah is an amazing thing. But you can't really call them a person that's struggling. They're not struggling. They were born, let's say, into a religious family. They were born with the natural personality to love studying Torah, the natural desire to do mitzvahs, and the natural desire to want to be selfless and to be running around and stopping Jews on the street and asking them if they're Jewish and putting on tefillin and helping this. That's the way they were born. So is this a wonderful thing? It's an amazing thing. But can you say that this person is struggling to reach this level? Not really. They're not really struggling. For this reason, he is not considered one who is serving God at all. Now, which doesn't mean literally what it says. Of course, he's serving God. But it means he's not working for that relationship. Because the love that this person has in their heart, the natural love that they get, the natural affinity, the natural feeling of closeness and desire to be close to Hashem, that which we get from our ancestors, this is not something that they caused. It's not something that they made happen. This is an inheritance. So, old story, they say, what is a PhD? A PhD is Papa has dough. Papa has dough. Why are you rich? You're rich because your parents earned money. You're rich because your rich uncle left you a will. Who knows what? You won the lottery. So does it mean you're not rich? No. You're very, very wealthy. Did you work for the money? No, you didn't work for the money. Now, we're going to explain later on. It seems that there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, what's wrong with getting a rich inheritance? And what's wrong with winning the lottery? And as long as you have the money in your bank account, in your pocket, who cares how you got it? Bottom line is, you're wealthy. So we're going to explain soon what is the advantage. Why are we even making a deal about this? Why? In other words, there's no reason for the Torah to make a differentiation and distinction between these two levels of Beinoni, the level of a Beinoni who is the person who is working for their relationship with Hashem, who's constantly struggling against all kinds of temptations, all kinds of problems in their life, all kinds of things that are pulling them away from being close to spirituality, close to Hashem. On the one hand, and a person who just naturally is coasting, and that's the way they are. So the question is, why would we even make a distinction, a differentiation, unless there's an advantage to one of them? And we're soon going to see what the advantage is. In fact, there is a very big advantage to the level of working for Hashem, and working for your relationship. So Alter Rebbe anyway continues that even a person who is not inherently studious, but has accustomed himself, has become used to studying, and this this idea that they've become accustomed to studying has now become second nature. For such a person, it's true that originally you had to work. When you first began to study Torah, it was a big deal. You mean I'm going to have to open that book? You mean I'm going to have to apply myself? You mean I'm going to have to spend now 2 hours, four hours, 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, every minute of the day studying Torah? Yeah, but after a while, person did that. Says, you know what? I like this. I enjoy it. It's nice. It's good. I got used to it. At that point, you're no longer actively working. So Alter Rebbe says, you can always, even if you started because of your nature, having to put effort and energy into your relationship with Hashem, but it's always possible that eventually you will plateau, you will reach a level, and that's where you're stuck, so to speak. Now, it's not a bad place to be stuck, but at the end of the day, yes, it is a plateau. And you are at that point again relying on the what's called the Ahava Misuteris, the hidden love. That's the natural love that Hashem gives to us, again, by virtue of the fact that we are Jews and part of the Jewish nation. As a general matter, a general statement, you see this in Tanya again and again and again and again. And this is the Alter Rebbe constantly in the first part of Tanya, especially in the third part of Tanya, which is talking about Teshuvah. The Alter Rebbe again and again and again, almost as a theme, could even be a theme, is making a difference. And much of Chassidus, as far as applied to what's called Avoda means how we serve Hashem and how we do the mitzvahs, is talking about the difference between doing something because it's your nature, as opposed to doing something because you have proactively decided intellectually and are pushing back even against something that's holding you from doing that thing. So the value, in other words, of a mitzvah or a Torah study that's done